Amen. Let's sing that chorus a cappella. Ready? What a day that will be
when my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon his face, the wondrous days he by his grace, when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day,
Mark chapter 1, there are times in studying and preparing for a message in which hours before the actual service starts, you're ready to preach it at that moment. And you wish you could call the church family at that moment as you're preaching with thoughts burning in your heart and your soul, and you wish you can pour it out as God is speaking to you about the topic. And here we are, Mark chapter 1, and this is something that has been stirring in my heart the last few days, stirring in my heart over the last few hours, and I'm eager to share it with you tonight. Mark chapter 1. Tonight I would like to set before your eyes a preacher of the rarest sort, a preacher's preacher, a preacher who preached with all of his might, a preacher who preached filled with the fear of God and the Spirit of God. A preacher who preached, who had a backbone and feared God over men. A preacher who preached the truth of God's Word. A preacher who preached for the glory of God. And the preacher's name is none other than John the Baptist. Follow along as I read Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. And John was clothed with camel's hair, and with a girdle of a skin about his loins, and he did eat locusts and wild honey, and preached, saying, there cometh one mightier than I after me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. The Gospel of Mark begins with the ministry of John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a prophet. In fact, he was the last of the prophets. He is the bridge between the Old Testament prophets and Christ and the New Testament apostles. As the Bible tells us, he is the voice of one crying in the wilderness. While John is referred to the Baptist, the one who baptizes, we see him in Scripture as a bold proclaimer of the Messiah, the one who was promised to come as a lamb to take away the sins of the world. And John the Baptist was as a roaring lion, roaring the truths of God in the wilderness. He was unashamedly confronting his generation with their spiritual waywardness and their need for the Savior. And John the Baptist is set before us in the opening verses of Mark as an example of what a preacher is. And John the Baptist is set before us to teach how a preacher ought to preach and what a preacher ought to preach. And John the Baptist is set before us to show us the spiritual characteristics that ought to be found within those who do preach. These verses before us are vital for all Christians, in particular preachers, but they are vital for all Christians. It is vital for the church to study the theology of preachers and preaching so that they might hold the high biblical standard of their pastor and the pulpit ministry. We live in a day filled with compromising Christians and crumbling churches. We live in a day like the days of Judges, where every man is seeking to do what is right in his own eyes. We live in a day where revival is absent. The pure worship of God has been replaced by carnivals, where society as a whole is in a tailspin of foolishness. And such sad conditions can be largely blamed on the preachers and their preaching. Preachers have become soft. Preachers have abandoned the great responsibility to preach. Preachers have been feeding their congregations with candy-coated sermons, feel-good sermons, inoffensive sermons, sermons that tickle the ear rather than touch the heart. We live in a day in which the pulpits are intimidated by the pews. I cannot speak on this subject. I may make people mad. I cannot speak about what God speaks in the Bible because people might leave the church. I cannot speak the truths of God because the church may vote me out. I cannot speak on the truths that God has given us in the Word because I may be charged with a hate crime and thrown in jail. We live in this day, a day of soft preachers and soft preaching. We live in a day of a spiritual famine. There is a famine in the land, and it is a famine of spiritual truth. And true preachers are guilty of abandoning their call. And church family, if we are to see revival in the pews, we must first see revival in the pulpit. I believe if God desires to bring an awakening to our land once again, and He is full able to do so, He must work in the hearts and souls of preachers. God must rattle, wake up, and send forth preachers with the spirit of John the Baptist. So notice first in our text, beginning in verses 1 through 3, as we dissect the life and ministry of John the Baptist, who he was and what he preached. Notice first, John the Baptist was a preacher that was God called. He was a preacher that was God called. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets, "Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." We see here that it was God's will for John the Baptist to be a preacher. From eternity past, God sovereignly ordained that John was going to be the forerunner of Christ as a preacher of the gospel. John declares, the author here declares, the gospel according to Mark says that it was written hundreds of years before John the Baptist came on the scene that there would be a John the Baptist crying in the wilderness. And only God in His sovereignty can arrange the circumstances by which John the Baptist would be born, by which John the Baptist would come to know Christ, by which John the Baptist would be sovereignly called to the gospel ministry and send him out in the wilderness proclaiming such a message. We see here this first truth that all true preachers of God are God called. There are those in the church who may serve as deacons and elders, those who have the ability to teach. But this is very different from the call to pastoral ministry, the call to preach. The call to preach is a specific inward call given to certain men to give themselves wholly to the ministry of the word and prayer, Acts chapter 6, 4. The call to preach, as Spurgeon says, is an intense, all-absorbing desire for the work. And John the Baptist was a God-called preacher. Like Jeremiah, years before, who was ordained a preacher in his mother's womb, John was commissioned to be God's full-time messenger. Like the Apostle Paul, who would follow John the Baptist years later, says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." It was not Jeremiah's will to become a preacher. It was not the Apostle Paul's will to become a preacher. In fact, like Jonah, many preachers, when they are called, seek to run away from such a call because they know what is involved in it. But those who are truly God called cannot turn away from this wonderful work, this inward working of the Spirit, calling them to be a herald for the name of God. And there's a reason we are placing such emphasis on God's calling. And it's important for us to understand because many preachers preaching today do not know such a call. They are not called of God. There are many professed preachers who are self-called, mama called, Bible college called, pastor called, money called, but not God called. And it's no wonder we have so much spiritual confusion in our land. We have people treating the pastorate as a common job that anyone can do. Go online, fill out the application. You don't need an official ordination. We've got that on ordination.com. People who are allured by the nobility that the pastoral ministry brings. People who are fueled by personal ambition. They are fueled with the idea that they can be something great before the eyes of God and before the eyes of others. Jeremiah declared that there were prophets preaching who were not called by God. In Jeremiah 21, 16 through 20, thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. They say still unto them that despise me, the Lord hath said, ye shall have peace. And they say unto every one that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. For who hath stood in the counsel of the Lord and hath perceived and heard his word? Who hath marked his word and heard it? Behold, the whirlwind of the Lord is gone forth in fury, even a grievous whirlwind. It shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord shall not return until he have executed, until he have performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days ye shall consider it perfectly. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. This is nothing new under the sun. Preachers who are self-called preachers, who are sent by their own religious institution, preachers preaching for the gain of profit. Jeremiah continues in Jeremiah chapter 27. Therefore, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that speak unto you, saying, ye shall not serve the king of Babylon, for they prophesy a lie unto you. For I have not sent them, saith the Lord, yet they prophesy a lie in my name, that I might drive you out, and that ye might perish, ye and the prophets that prophesy unto you. The first thing that we see in the life of John the Baptist is that he was a preacher that was God called. And a preacher who is God called has a sure foundation for his feet. No matter what comes his way, he remembers the inward call of God, like salvation. When one truly born again, others can talk you out of that salvation, but you know without a shadow of a doubt that it was God working in you to do both to his will and good pleasure. And so it is with this inward call of God, the call to preach. The preacher will go through times of discouragement and persecution. The preacher will be understanding of his own weaknesses and infirmities. The preacher will sometimes be so discouraged that he will think about throwing in the towel and quitting, just like Jeremiah. But then the preacher will remember, this wasn't my will, this was God's will. And he will submit himself to God's will, saying, I will be a great voice for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. John the Baptist was a preacher that was God called, God commissioned. Notice secondly, John the Baptist was a preacher that was not only God called, he was God consumed. How do we know this? We'll look at the content of his preaching. What is his heart filled with? What spews out of his mouth? And Jesus says, what's in the heart will come out of the mouth. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. what fills the mouth of John the Baptist? What is his theme? What is his content? His content is Christ. This is a preacher who is God consumed. John the Baptist, notice, behold, verse 2, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness. What is he crying? What is he lifting up his voice about? Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make his paths straight. Notice, John the Baptist was a preacher. He was not a talker. He was not a lecturer. He was not one to only give history lessons. He preached. We've lost the art of preaching. What is preaching? It is not merely the lifting up the voice. There are many who scream who don't have any sort of content at all. They're screaming and they think that their screaming is their spiritual content, but that's foolishness. John the Baptist was preaching, lifting up his voice, heralding it like a trumpet, and he's preaching Christ. One message, Christ and him crucified. The death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. He was as a dying man preaching to dying men. He was urgent in his preaching to others. He understood that men and women, boys and girls, stood on the brink of eternity. And how could he not lift up his voice and preach? As we would see one on Highway 247, perhaps a child crossing to find a ball, hopefully we would lift up our voice in danger and say, stop! Don't cross the road, there's danger. And so John the Baptist did the same thing. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Turn from your wicked ways. Christ is coming. This is the King. Repent while you have a chance. Repent and receive the forgiveness of sins. Oh, John the Baptist was a preacher. And what is preaching but the calling of others to action? That is preaching. Oh, yes, preaching does involve teaching and unraveling the truths of Scripture, but preaching includes the calling out of others, the reproof and rebuke and the exhorting with all longsuffering and doctrine. John the Baptist preached, but what did he preach? He preached Christ. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make his paths straight. He preached repentance and the remission of sins. He preached Christ and him crucified. He did not preach himself. He preached Christ. Verse 7, there cometh one mightier than I after me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed baptize you with water, but he, Christ, shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. John's message was not a message of personal opinions. It was not a message of cute stories. It was not a message of moral standards. It was not a message of political reformation. It was not a message of biblical facts. It was not a message of self-help. It was a message of sin and righteousness and judgment to come. It was a Bible message. It was thoroughly biblical. A message rooted in the Scripture. Notice what he says. As it is written. In other words, thus saith the Lord. This is not only important for the preacher, but for the congregation. You should want the pastor to give you the truth of the Scripture and the truth of the Scripture alone. Oh, yes, personal illustrations may help to clarify the truth of the Scriptures, but we do not come to hear about the pastor's life. We come to hear about Christ and him crucified, how we can be made at peace with God, how we can know the forgiveness of sins, how we can have victory in our Christian life. And so we preach like John the Baptist, Christ and him alone. John was a preacher that was God consumed. We see this in his content. J.C. Ryle says, quote, the principal work of every faithful minister of the gospel is to set the Lord Jesus fully before his people and to show them his fullness and his power to save. The next great work he has to do is to set before them the work of the Holy Spirit and the need of being born again and inwardly baptized by his grace. These two mighty truths appear to have been frequently on the lips of John the Baptist. It would be well for the church and the world if there were more ministers like him. John the Baptist was a preacher. He was a preacher that was God called. He was a preacher that was God consumed. And then notice, John the Baptist was a preacher that was godly. It is, notice his character. First, John the Baptist, this preacher, was content. Again, as we're listening to any preacher, we want to know, does he live out what he preaches? Because, again, the life preaches louder than the lips. And John can preach Christ and preach repentance and preach holiness all he wants, but what does he live? Does he internalize that which he externalizes? Or is he a hypocrite? Well, we see clearly, verse 6. Look at his character. Look at how godly this preacher was. We see his contentment, verse number 6. And John was clothed with camel's hair and with a girdle of a skin about his loins, and he did eat locusts and wild honey. In other words, John the Baptist was not a prosperity preacher. He was not dressed in the silk suit. He did not drive up to the Jordan River in his Cadillac Escalade. He was not clothed in the finest garments. He did not eat the luxurious meats of the day. He obviously did not go into ministry to be rich. But having food and raiment, he was content. He was not traveling in the Rolls-Royce chariot, if they had such things back then. He was in it for the glory of God. He was in it for souls. And unlike the Israelites of old, he was not complaining about what he had or did not have. John was clothed with camel's hair and a girdle of a skin about his loins. Ladies, sound like a great garment to have, huh? Men, how about this for a men's breakfast? Eating locusts and wild honey. Would we be content? Would we complain? Where's the steak? Where's the potatoes? Where's the biscuits and gravy? Oh, but John the Baptist was a preacher who was content. His mind was on his mission. He wasn't concerned about himself. He was concerned about others. Not only his contentment, notice his humility, verse number 7. And preached, saying, "There cometh one mightier than I after me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose." John the Baptist understood his own unworthiness. He was of the opinion, he must increase and I must decrease. There was no personal ambition to be something great in the eyes of men. He did not consider himself to be a hotshot preacher because he was in the ministry. He was not about letting others know about his qualifications and his degrees. He was not seeking to have his picture on all the websites and all the brochures. No, this was a true servant of God clothed in humility. I am not even worthy to stoop down and unloose the sandals of Christ. I am but his servant. Remember, as we went verse by verse through the epistle of James, James opens up the epistle, James, a servant of Jesus Christ. In other words, James, a slave of Jesus Christ. James doesn't call himself a pastor. James doesn't call himself the half-brother of Jesus, though he was. There was no boasting of qualifications before him. He says, James, a servant, a humble servant. As we read this morning in our scripture reading, Christ stooping down and washing the feet of the disciples. And so this spirit was found in John the Baptist. He was a servant. He was a foot washer. He was humble in his mind. Notice also his character. Not only was he humble, not only was he content, he was faithful. What was he faithful to? To the Scripture. He was faithful not only to the Scripture, but to God's will. His main concern was not to be funny. His main concern was not to be liked. His main concern was not to be popular. His main concern was not to be cool. He was not the people's man. He was God's man. His main concern was to glorify God by faithfully delivering the truth of God so that souls might know God. Listen, church, we need preachers who will be faithful, preachers with a backbone who will stand for truth and not like the preachers we see on TV. Not preachers, smooth-talking preachers like Joel Osteen. Example, as we're talking about preachers and preachings and the effect on society. I'm sorry to labor this if you're a Joel Osteen fan, but you need to know, you need to hear. Joel Osteen on the Larry King Live program is asked by Larry King, King, because we've had ministers on the program who said, your record doesn't count. You either believe in Christ or you don't. If you believe in Christ, you are going to heaven. And if you don't, no matter what you've done in your life, you ain't. Sorry, English teachers. Osteen, quote, yeah, I don't know. There's probably a balance between. I believe you have to know Christ, but I think that if you know Christ, if you're a believer in God, you're going to have some good works. I think it's a cop-out to say, I'm a Christian, but I don't ever do anything. King, what if you're Jewish or Muslim and you don't accept Christ at all? Osteen, you know, I'm very careful about saying who would and who wouldn't go to heaven. I don't know. King, if you believe, you have to believe in Jesus, they are wrong, aren't they? Osteen, well, I don't know if I believe they're wrong. I just think that only God will judge a person's heart. I spend a lot of time in India with my father. I don't know all about their religion, but I know they love God. And I don't know. I've seen their sincerity. So, I don't know. Church, we need preachers who are man enough to know the truth and to declare the truth. We don't need sissified boys who are afraid to speak the whole counsel of God, especially on live television that will be broadcasted worldwide. We need men who will preach as a dying man to dying men. Men who will light themselves on fire for the Lord so that others may see them burn. John Wesley says, give me 100 preachers who fear nothing but sin and the desire nothing but God. Such alone will shake the gates of hell. We need such men, men of honesty, men of integrity, men who leave their prayer closets filled with the Holy Spirit, who will boldly proclaim the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, and even if it means their head, like John the Baptist. As one American preacher, Charles Naylor, says in the early 1900s, quote, if all preachers had honesty enough and courage enough to preach the truth, then the tide of worldliness that is overcoming such a multitude of souls and sweeping them into perdition would be somewhat stayed. As long as preachers allow their sermons to be dictated by public sentiment or the worldly desires of their hearers, they will cater to fashions and the souls by the million will drift on into hell. Oh, what a reaping such preachers will have at the judgment. The full measure of God's wrath will fall on those preachers who fail to be true to souls and to God in preaching those truths the Bible clearly teaches against sin and worldliness. And please, church, see when I stand behind the pulpit and I'm straight on certain truths and there's a passion, it's because there's a love for souls. There's a desire to see you know Christ and grow in Him. It's not to be mean for mean's sake, but it's like John the Baptist, one who cared so much for his generation, who would speak the truth of God so that the truth might set others free. John the Baptist was faithful. Notice it was John's character that molded John's preaching. It was John's character that molded his usefulness or his faithfulness. Robert Murray McShane says, it is not great talents God blesses so much as great likeness to Christ. As we study the preachers of the Scriptures, the preachers throughout church history, we will find this one main theme. They were men who feared God. They were men who sought to walk in holiness. They were men who dwelt much in the presence of God. And it's not great talent that God blesses so much as great likeness to Christ. And here John the Baptist is one who is like Christ. He is humble. He is a servant. He is content with such things as he has. And he is faithful to God's word and to God's will. So what's the application? What can we take from this message? From this first sermon on the Gospel of Mark, what can we take from a God-called, God-consumed, godly preacher? The first application for us tonight is pray. Pray. Pray for God to raise up such preachers in our generation. Pray that God would send God-called, God-consumed, godly preachers into his harvest field. We are commanded to pray for laborers, but pray specifically for these kind of laborers. We already have too many that are lazy laborers, loitering laborers, lording laborers, lording over their flock. We need preachers like John the Baptist. And it is true, the condition of our nation is directly related to the condition of our preachers and pulpits. Look out. Look at American history and see the times that America thrived. And those were the times that the preaching was hot. The house of God was full. Christians were praying, had a respect for the preaching of God's word, and God was working mightily in the land. Pray. Pray for the pastoral staff of our church. The enemy wants to destroy the church, and his attacks are largely directed toward the preacher. If only Satan can discourage the preacher, if only Satan can tempt the preacher to hide behind the fear of man and to keep from boldly proclaiming what the Scripture says, Satan has done a great work. Pray for preachers. Should God move you from this place? Should you find your place in a different land, in a different church? Seek a preacher like John the Baptist. Seek a preacher who will preach God's word. Seek a preacher who will be honest with you, who will be kind enough to step on your toes from time to time. Those are the preachers I've been helped by the most. Should the Lord call me home early? Should circumstances change in the 10, 15, 20 years? God forbid, I've planted my flag here and desire to stay here for life. But should something change, church, look for a preacher that has the characteristics of John the Baptist. A voice lifting up, crying in the wilderness, proclaiming Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Pray. The first application is pray. And then the second application is pursue. Pursue to implement the characteristic of John the Baptist in your life. The Holy Spirit has placed his positive testimony in the Bible as an example for all of us. We are not all ordained preachers of the gospel, but we are all private preachers in one way or another. Mothers preaching to their children. Fathers preaching to their wives. In a right way, fathers. Employees preaching to their employees. Neighbors preaching to their neighbors. We are preachers. 10 o'clock next Saturday. Did I mention that? Saturday, Nick. Saturday, 10 o'clock. Saturday morning outreach. We're all preachers in some sort, evangelizing the gospel. And how should we evangelize? And what spirit should we evangelize? In the same spirit as John the Baptist. In a humble spirit. In a content spirit. And in a faithful spirit. All of us who are born again ought to be God-consumed Christians who know and teach the truth. All of us who are in Christ ought to be godly in our character. See, John the Baptist, he's not only an example for the preacher, he's an example for the whole congregation, to every Christian. That we would lift up Christ in our life and in our family. That we would have a humble spirit, the spirit of a servant. That we would see our unworthiness. God resisteth the proud, gives grace to the humble. That we would be faithful to the Word of God no matter what. So our family disconnects with us. So there's trouble in the workplace because of our faith. But like John the Baptist, we are going to be faithful unto death because this is what God has called us to do. Pray and pursue. Pray and pursue. Oh, church, see the seriousness of these things. If only God would wake us up. If only God would move on the hearts of preachers. Not being concerned about numbers. Not being concerned about being liked. Not being concerned about what's popular. What's the cool fad of the day. But that they would be a voice crying in the wilderness, seeking to do God's will in a humble manner, then we will know revival. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for this example we have of John the Baptist. We pray that you would give us his spirit. His spirit is the spirit of Elijah. His spirit is the spirit of Christ. Give us the spirit of Christ, this bold spirit. This spirit filled with both grace and truth. The spirit that loves others so much that they will not keep the truth from being heard. Lord, you know every individual and where we are at in our witnessing opportunities. You know our fear to open up our mouths and speak boldly the mystery of the gospel. But I pray, Lord, that you would set a fire in our soul. I pray that you would set a fire in this pulpit, that you would set a fire in our church, or that we would see the winds of revival blow across our community, and we would see the fires of revival spread across this state and across our nation once again, Lord. We cry out unto you. Only you can cause it so. Father, we pray that we might respond to the preaching of your word in a right way. Help us to see our need for such preaching. And often it is enticing to hear the soft, smooth, kind message of others. And there are truths that are needed, that we receive, that are of a comforting manner, but see, Lord, that we are dealing with sin. We are calling men to repentance, calling the proud to be humble, calling for the sinner to forsake his evil ways. And we must herald these truths so that others might be helped. Father, help us. Give us your grace and strength. In Jesus' name, amen.